Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My guess is that Jaden Daniels does not play on Sunday. I have no earthly idea for sure what will happen, but for me, it's the, you know, the lack of information. If he were, you know, a strong lean to play because the injury isn't, you know, a big deal at all, I think we would have heard that. Now, you can make the case it's a competitive advantage on a short week for the Raiders to make them prepare for two quarterbacks as long as they possibly can. But the difference in the two quarterbacks or the two offenses stylistically, you know, aren't that vast. I mean, Jaden's a lot better than Marcus Mariota, but the offense isn't going to change that much with Mariota. But I have this feeling that the incredible silence over a very, you know, long weekend of waiting and looking to see if, you know, anybody would have exactly whether or not that MRI happened and why it happened and what the results were. And then just the way that Quinn handled the press conference. Look, this is who they are. And Tom Shad, who was just on with us from the Washington Post, he's spot on. You know, every staff, every organization handles injuries in their own way. This is going to be more like, you know, not exactly Belichick and the Patriots, but it's certainly not going to be what, you know, the Snyder era team was, where literally, when I tell you that you'd have multiple people inside that organization fighting to be the first person to leak something to somebody in the media, usually national members of the media, but there was absolutely no structure, no organization, no culture, and no punishment for doing so. That it was truly an S show of the highest order. That's not this group. You know, we learned last year, I mean, they were tight-lipped about these, you know, specifics around Jaden's rib injury. I even asked Quinn 3 weeks ago when he was on, or 2 weeks ago when he was on, going back to that thing when Jaden had admitted with Justin Jefferson and Saquon Barkley in that event that he played with a broken rib. Now, rib and knee, completely different. You know, we understand that as sports fans, but you're just not going to get a lot from them. I just have this sense that if it was a total nothing burger, that I think we'd know that. And we don't know that. And therefore, it's a knee. I think they will err on the side of caution, even if he ends up looking good. By the way, my personal view is, if he's healthy and they don't think it's an issue at all, I'm not just resting him because he might, you know, be at risk. He's at risk every time he goes out there. You got to win this game Sunday. This is actually a pretty important game Sunday for early in the season. You know, considering that their next two games are against the Falcons on the road, they've looked pretty good here in the first 2 weeks, especially on defense and especially Bijan Robinson. And then the Chargers, who are 2-0. That won't necessarily feel like a road game, I don't think, at SoFi. But you kind of got to get this one on Sunday or risk a potentially rough start to the season. So if he's fine, I'm not one of those people that says, oh, well, you know, he's fine, but he's the franchise. You got to err on the side of caution. If there's nothing to be cautionary about, play him. If there's anything to be cautionary about, don't play him. I have a feeling there's probably something that they'd actually prefer to be cautionary about, and he doesn't play. Now, in terms of what's the solution long-term to keep this guy from getting hit as much as he's getting hit, a lot of it's on him. I think on these designed runs, these scrambles, and on some of the option runs, there are opportunities to avoid taking a hit. He doesn't always avoid those opportunities. He's not a guy that's, you know, trying to run people over on every play like Josh Allen. He's not that, and he can't do that because he doesn't have Josh Allen's build. I think, you know, many times he is very wise and smart. But, more often than not, he will go for a couple of extra yards. He doesn't seem to mind being tackled as much as he gets tackled. He has been the most hit quarterback last year and through 2 weeks this year. All right, the data is out on that. I think he's got to be a little bit more discerning, especially based on game context. First and 10 in the first quarter is completely different than fourth and six down four in the fourth quarter. You know, on zone reads, he has the opportunity to get to the sideline and maybe not pick up an extra 2 or 3 yards to avoid a hit. If he turns it upfield, he's got the opportunity to slide. I know sliding, sometimes you tend to, you know, put at risk the headshot with somebody that's out there searching for it. I think the QB draws more often than not open field space, middle of the field. You've got a chance to avoid a hit with a slide. I can't stand the quarterback design counters and power in sweeps. I've talked about that for a year now. Scrambles, you know, he's out there. You know, he's exposed. He's got to make the right decisions, and game context has a lot to do with it. In the pocket, there's only so much you can do. The team's got to protect him better, that's for sure, because he was not protected on Thursday night. So, two-part question. Do you think he'll play Sunday? What happens Sunday? And then secondly, is there a solution to getting him hit less? 301-230-0980. Let's start with Philip in Annandale. Philip, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just don't have patience for this kind of thing at the professional level. I don't even have the patience for it in the college level. I mean, I watched that game last week. It's a one-score game for the most part, as you talked about before. And they run their star quarterback that they ranted and raved about all preseason. Oh, he's the greatest, and he really doesn't even touch the ball. He touches it 4 times, I guess, to give him an appetizer.
You're talking about Bill.
Got the ball 4 times. So it's not a mystery. I think, yeah, you know, he'll run every now and then, but they're running these designed runs as if they don't know anything about running the football with a running back. I don't have patience for that. What's the head coach doing watching the whole game? You know, maybe we should have run it more. Well, what were you doing with the headset standing on the sidelines as a professional coach in the NFL, and you can see what's going on, but maybe he can't see what's going on, and then you don't want to run the ball? You know, the passing game, they make that a little bit of a mystery too. They don't pay attention to what's happening at the moment. They don't run the ball, and then what's wrong with 3 yards a carry, second and four once in a while, or second and three, or I'm sorry, third and four, or third and three, third and two? You can't get that? And if your guys aren't getting open, why aren't they running some quick hitters? Or why aren't they giving the ball to their running backs, you know, in passing situations, just getting them quick hit passes to the running backs, because they'll usually win one-on-ones against linebackers, and you can pick up 5 or 6 yards. Sonny Jurgensen would come off the bench for people. Most people don't know this, but when Billy Kilmer was stinking up the game, nothing was working all game, and Sonny would come in the fourth quarter and have to win the game down 2 scores, and he would do it. Nothing's working all day long. You know what he would do? He'd come out immediately, a 5-yard out pass to Charlie Taylor. The next play is a 5-yard out pass to Roy Jefferson. Then he'd do a 5-yard out pass to Charlie Taylor again. And then all of a sudden, the whole game changed on 3 simple 5-yard out passes. The defense was on its heels. They had to come up on the receiver, and he just ate them alive. Then the running game started working.
Philip,
professional football.
This is an excellent call, but I want to boil it down to this, because I think you're leaning in this direction. They can protect him by running the football effectively and more often, and being a bit more balanced. They were not balanced on Thursday night, that is for sure. And the score of the game was never out of control. By the way, there's no guarantee it would have worked. But I don't disagree that sort of the big takeaway from your call, other than I loved, you know, envisioning Sonny throwing the 5-yard out to 42 and then to 80 on the other side, Roy Jefferson. I love that. And I you know, I'm just old enough to remember some of that. But yeah, running the football, a running game is a quarterback's best friend, and it's protective of the quarterback. I agree with you. Thanks for the call. Good call. Let's go to Ben in Iowa. Ben, do you think he'll play Sunday? And then B, what's the solution to getting Jaden to not take so much hit, so many hits?
Hey, Kevin, I think they'll be safe and not allow him to play. This does unfortunately smell like an RG3 part two, just because of the nature of a running quarterback who's smaller and going to play hero ball. I called 2 weeks ago, and I know everybody was 14 wins. I was in the 9-8 camp because we don't know that we have a running game. And that's the solution, is pounding the rock. But why was Eckler starting week one? My thing is, I don't think Bill knows protections well enough. I think that has been out there. I don't know. I think it's just run more, and Jade needs to throw the ball away when it's first, second down, and, you know, not fourth quarter, like you said. So some things need to happen, but it's concerning. It's definitely the dark side to this, something we want to be very excited about, this quarterback, this new franchise that's resurged, but it's the dark side of Jaden, and we're going to have to deal with this throughout his career, you know, missing probably a third of the season on average. So,
well, he didn't miss a third of the season last year. He didn't miss a start last year. He missed the Carolina game after he came out early, and we don't know that he's missed a third of the season. Look, Lamar Jackson's missed some games, and it hurt their seasons. Here's the thing that I don't think should change, and I appreciate the call, Ben.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're not changing the offense, okay? Jaden's greatest, you know, the greatest part of Jaden Daniels is that he can do everything. You're not going to take away a big part of his game, which is his legs. First of all, 21st century, is certainly 2025 NFL football, you've got to find mobility in quarterbacks. They've got to be able to extend plays. They've got to be able to make plays with their legs and their arm on the same play. You're never going to take that away. Jaden being a part of the run game, you should never take away. It's a big part of what makes them so hard to defend. I think what you have to reduce is the number of times he gets hit. So running the football and developing a decent run game with your running backs certainly would take some pressure off, especially if you end up, you know, having running backs carry the ball 18, 20, 22, 24 times a game, if you could get that out of your backs. You certainly didn't get that the other night. There were 12 carries. In the opener, it was probably higher than that. I'd have to go back and look, but it was higher than the 12, certainly. But I think overall, there has to be a more discerning approach to Jaden's using of his legs. I think from a play-calling standpoint, for me, I hate the Cam Newton quarterback powers, the Josh Allen quarterback powers, quarterback counters. I just don't think he's got the build for that. You know, he's not going to overpower people. When you see Josh Allen take a snap in shotgun and they pull guards and they're running truly a quarterback counter, which is what they used to do with Cam Newton in Carolina, he can do that. He's a large, physical human being. So was Cam. That's not for Jaden, in my opinion. I understand the benefit of overloading and 11-on-11 in the run game, and you pull those guards and you are out there with, you know, 6-on-5 blocking on one side with Jaden as the ball carrier, and he's a really good ball carrier. But those plays end so often in a pile. So often in a pile. Let's go to our guy Lap. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call, bro. I believe he's going to play, but they still need to make sure that they test him out the rest of the week to make sure, because if he's not ready, go with Mariota. We need to run the football more. I think we need a younger tight end. We got a younger tight end on the roster. We need to use him more. I know we've been using tight ends for blocking purposes, but I thought that if we address the offensive line, that we would use the tight ends more so in the offense, you know, because I think he needs like a safety net, you know, and it's unfortunate with Eckler because, you know, if stuff break down, you could kind of throw it to Eckler if you had a really good tight end, because we're used to having good tight ends. And I like Zach Ertz, but at some point we need to address that position, you know what I'm saying, for sure. And like I said, protect them and run the football. And we need to run a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur type offense, man. I think it'd be suited better for him. And let me ask you a question, too, about the tush-push, Kevin. You said you don't like it and you think it needs to be – the rules need to be changed for it? And
yes, I've been in favor of abolishing that play for a while now.
Well, isn't it like a quarterback sneak in a sense?
No.
Because
it's not like a quarterback sneak. No, because there are two players from behind pushing the quarterback.
Okay, so – but on some run plays, don't offensive players push the runner?
Yeah, not from behind the line of scrimmage. You know, not from behind the line of scrimmage in a bunched up scrum. Yeah. By the way, you bring up an interesting point. Like Jalen Hurts as a quarterback sneak guy without the two players or, you know, pushing him from behind would probably be a damn good quarterback sneak QB because of his lower body strength.
Yeah,
but
yeah
no, I can't stand the play. I can't stand the formation. I can't stand the way it's not officiated, you know, because essentially there are rule breakers on every single one of those plays. And there's no drama in the play because it's a foregone conclusion. That's not what we love about the NFL. It's a television show and it's ruining the television part of it. I think Sunday's game was an abomination to see that thing run six times. And I think the league office is pissed in a big-time way that they didn't vote this thing out before this season. Thanks, Lap. Appreciate it. Let's go to Cam in D.C. Cam, do you think he plays Sunday, yes or no? And do you have a solution to minimizing the hits on Jaden in the future?
What's up, Kevin? I don't think he plays Sunday, but I appreciate you giving me the opt-out and saying I don't have a solution. Because I do think, I mean, if you watch him, especially from the TV broadcast, like he really loves the game of football. Like he's smiling, he's jarring with some of the best defensive ends in the game. Like I think he kind of enjoys the hit, and
I
don't
do
know
too.
What kind of consequences,
I do too.
But yeah, it's insane. Like he's really a baller. But I will say, I think some of the social media and national dialogue about it, I think Mina Kimes said his play is unsustainable. What I do want to see is the breakdown of his hits both this year and last year on design runs versus scrambles, because last year, you know, didn't have the best pass pro, receivers not getting separation. I think I've missed your film breakdown so far this year, but I think we're probably seeing the same on the all 22 with receivers not getting separation. So yeah, he definitely totally agree with you. He can do a better job of getting out of bounds or sliding on the scrambles. But I do think people are overstating how many design runs. Like to your point, I think the really bad ones are the counters and the powers. But I do think people were actually overstating his use as a running back, so to speak, in the run game. Like I think most of those are, you know, he correctly pulled on a read option when he does it, and then obviously, you know, scrambles from breakdown and pass pros or no one.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of games last year where they called the quarterback, you know, powers and the quarterback counters multiple times in games. That is, you know, that is a designed run play. As are QB draws. We saw a couple of those. In the Giant game, right? I think we did. But yeah, the rest of it is scramble and options. You know, something that the last caller mentioned, I think it was Lap, like, you know, maybe there's a different style of offense, and he mentioned the Kyle, you know, LaFleur, McVay, the Shanahan offense. You'd see a lot more under center, okay? You'd see a lot more stretch zone and bootleg off of it where the quarterback comes sort of free off of a good running game. You'd see play action be, you know, even more effective. You know, play action typically is more effective with a quarterback under center because the defense loses sight of the ball on the play fake when the quarterback turns his back to the defense. So some of that, I think... makes sense, but that's not what Kingsbury is running here. And what he ran last year was pretty damn effective. They were one of the best offenses in the league. Look, I think Thursday night, he got hit too much in the pocket. He got hit too much outside of the pocket. They certainly could have protected him better, a lot better in pass pro. And part of that was play calling with perhaps, you know, giving the running game with running backs a little bit more. There's not a lot you can do here other than Jaden making good decisions based on the game context. You don't need to take on tacklers in an open field play in the first quarter on first and 10, you know, in a 0-0 game. But there's no way I would ever want him on fourth and 7 in the fourth quarter down 6 to say, I'm going to protect myself and go out of bounds. No, that's not him. But I do agree with what Cam said. I think a part of him, because he is such a competitor and such a baller, I think he likes the contact. I do. All right. I see everybody on hold. JYD, Lou, Anthony, Billy, Rod, Paulie just jumped on. Stay there. We'll do one more segment of these calls. A, do you think he'll play on Sunday? B, is there a solution that you believe exists to minimize the number of times Jaden's getting hit? If you don't know this, and it is true, there's data out there. He was the most hit quarterback in 2024, and through 2 weeks, he's the most hit quarterback in the NFL through the first 32 games of the season. All right, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.